Everybody's got little hearts. I spent lots of time. I made these hearts. I spent lots of time on them. Do not mess them up. Here we go. So I'm going to do a little experiment with you guys. Not experiment. We're going to do a little session, all right? We've been talking about outreach. And the last thing that we ended with last week was talking about why we don't outreach. And I believe there's a few reasons why we don't outreach. I believe there's a few reasons why we don't, like, get outside ourselves and outside our comfort zones. I believe there's a few reasons. I'm not going to go through all the reasons because that would take, like, years. But I'm going to go through one major, well, a couple of them, hopefully, if I have enough time. But I'm going to start something today and we'll see how far we get. Here's the first thing. Thank you very much. I believe that we don't outreach because a lot of us don't really understand the gospel. We don't really understand what Christianity is about. I mean, some of us have lived our whole lives in church and school and all this other good stuff, and we still don't understand what the gospel is all about. We don't understand why is it such a big deal. And so I'm going to give you a little example of why this is such a big deal. Hopefully you'll get it. We'll see. So I'm going to start reading some stuff off in a second. This is what I want you to do. When I'm reading, you can look it up on the screen. How many people brought their Bibles with them? If you brought your Bible with you, you need it today. In fact, Dave, where's Dave? Yeah, thanks, man. You need it today. I don't want to, like, go off and just, like, give you my words. I don't want you just to hear Joe up here talking because I can speak. Oh, yeah, he's, like, such a great motivational speaker. I don't care about me speaking. I don't want you to hear my voice. I want you to hear what God says in his word, because it's not coming from me. It's not about me. It's not about these youth leaders. It's about what he says right there in the word. You can't argue with me. You got to argue with that. If you need a Bible, come get one. Don't tear your heart. All right, now I need you to be really serious with me for the next, like, I don't know, 10 minutes, next 15 minutes. I need you to be honest. I need you to don't be influenced by what people next to you may be doing. Don't be influenced. I want you to be perfectly honest, and I want you to get a connection with the word. The words here, the words that you're reading there, I want you to get a connection with it, all right? So be perfectly honest with me. Be perfectly serious. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read you some passages of scripture, and I'm going to tell you what to turn, right? If any of it applies to you, any of it at all applies to you, I want you to rip your heart in half. Every single time you see something in there that applies to you, I want you to rip that heart up. Don't throw the pieces on the ground. I want you to hold on to those pieces. Every time the Holy Spirit convicts you, I want you to rip that heart up. Every time you see something in there that you have ever done, I want you to rip that heart up. Every time you even see something in there that you've ever even thought about doing, I want you to rip that heart up. Every single time, all right? So let's start. Going, Galatians 5. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 19. It says this. Listen, read. Every time you hear something, every time you see something that you've done, you thought of, anything that applies to you, and I want you to be honest. Don't do it just because somebody else sitting next to you does it. But at the same time, be honest with yourself. If you've thought about these things, if you've done it at any time in your life, I don't care, Christian, non-Christian, if you've ever done this, I want you to rip that heart up. Here we go. Galatians 5, verse 19, it says this. If you don't have it in your Bible, look at the screen. When you follow desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's keep going. That's a great way to brighten your day. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, 22-31. If you don't have it, it's okay. Just look up at the screen. It says this. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust, deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. There should be some tears going on. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. We're all parts of the same body. Don't sin by letting anger control you. If you let anger control you, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. If you've ever stolen anything, if you ever thought about stealing anything, instead use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others. I'm going to hear a lot of tears on this one. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved. Get rid of all bitterness, if you've ever been bitter, rage, anger. Tear it in half. Harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Any type of evil behavior, tear it. Don't just tear a piece off it, tear it in half. You're not tearing a piece off it. Every time I want you to tear it in half. Let's keep going. Colossians 3, verse 5. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Here we go. Get ready. There's going to be some tearing here. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when you were still, when your life was still part of the world, but now it's time to get rid of anger. Once again, anger. If you've done it, I don't care if you tore it before for anger, do it again. Rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Let's keep going. Go to Romans 1, verse 18. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Oh yeah, I'm going to read this whole thing. They know the truth about God because He's made it obvious to them. They know the truth about God because He's made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. And though they knew God, they didn't worship Him as God, or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. I'm going to skip down to verse 29. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder. If you even thought about killing somebody in your heart, that's murder. Quarreling, arguing with people, deception. If you've deceived anyone, even thought about deceiving anyone, malicious behavior, gossip. If you've ever, come on, I should hear some terror. Gossip. Backstabbers. Haters of God. If you're not, if you, at any time in your life you've not been a lover of God, you've been a hater of God. Insolent. Proud. Boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. And here's the big kicker. They disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, heartless, they don't have mercy. At this time, people are feeling pretty torn up. What's the first thing I told you? I made these. I spend time on these things. I put effort. You see how many of you guys, how long you think it took me to make each one of those things? You just tore it up. What the heck, man? So you ever done any of those things?
Oh,
I was like, anybody here that doesn't have a torn heart, anyone? Okay, I need one volunteer. Josh, bring your heart to me. Ew. I told you not to tell this. Why are you giving me this? But I told you first not to tear it.
And no, it was made to
tear. It wasn't made to be torn?
No, it was made. You told him every time.
I know, but come on, man. You tore my heart. What is this? I can't believe you would do something like this. What do I do with this? I want your heart, dude. Give me your heart.
Yeah, here.
Dude, No. You go tape it back together, all right? You try that. Anybody got some tape? Anybody got some glue? Or you spit and try to, like, because it's like soft paper. You can try to put it back together. Is there any way you can put this heart back together? But you did this. Don't try to blame it on me. You did this. No. You did this. You did this. Did you or not? Did you do this? Did somebody else tear it?
Oh, no, I did.
You tore it.
Yeah.
Right? So, as of now, I should be pretty ticked off at you, right? Because you tore this, and I spent time making this. I should be pissed at you. You know what I'm saying? You broke this thing that I took time making. That does not make me happy, Josh. That really does not make me happy. So why are you coming to me with this stinking thing? What can I do with that? How can me and you even communicate when I'm angry at you because you did this, man? How? How? Answer me. Like, you come here with this little... So this is the heart that you're giving me? Is this it?
I guess.
You know what? That's good. Okay, you and I can be friends again. Cause you try to tear this one. Try to tear it. Just try to tear it. Can't tear it. You can't tear it. Right? Right? Can't tear it. Can't tear it. Right? All right. Good, man. Okay, you and I can be friends, man. All right. You go back. You go back. Enjoy that heart. Go back. Sit right there. Enjoy that heart, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy it. Huh? Yeah. You can check it out. Go ahead. You can check it out. See what's inside. You can go ahead, enjoy it. Anybody else in here have torn hearts? Anybody else in here? Anybody else in here have torn hearts? I just illustrated the power of the gospel right there. Not only did I illustrate the power of the gospel, Josh, you're sitting there in the middle of the room, and you see all these torn hearts around you. As soon as you got that heart, everybody just started looking at you like, wow, look at this heart. Look at what this guy has. Look at what he has. But what you did is you sat there and you just kept it to yourself. Even more importantly than that, no, you're just giving a part to your heart. You should be doing more than that. No. Keep your heart. There's something even more important that you should be doing right now. There's something even more important, even bigger that you can be doing. What should you be telling them? What should you be doing?
Spreading the gospel?
No, not spreading the gospel. I'm talking about right now. What should you be doing, Josh?
Fixing my heart.
Fixing your heart. Could you fix your heart before? So what makes you think you can fix your heart now? What should you be doing? Anybody know what Josh should be doing right now? What should he be doing? Sharing what? No. What should he be doing, Lars? No. What should he be doing? I didn't do that. What should he be doing, Pimo? What? No. What should he be doing? Say that real loud. Telling him about what Joyce did. Everybody missed that point. Tell him what Joyce did. You're like, oh, let me give you some of my heart. Well, what you should have did was like, hey, you know what? You can go and you can approach Joe if you just go to Joyce. Yeah, he's pissed off. He's ticked off because you tore the heart that he told you not to tear. And you had no choice but to tear the heart because you were guilty of all the things that you did. You were guilty. But I tell you what, if you go talk to Joyce, she can help you. Do you think that's true? Do you think that's true, Josh?
Oh, yes.
Tell somebody about it.
Yeah,
Joyce. No, no, tell one person. I want you to pick one person and tell them. Pick one person and tell them.
Okay, you.
And that's it. Joyce gave me this heart. What else are you going to tell him?
Yeah, we used to do
so. And? He's still got a broken heart, man. He's still got a torn up heart. And what?
It's filled with chocolate.
It's filled with chocolate. And what else?
His
stepmom. Say what? Thank you. So why don't you try it? Why don't you ask? Why don't you tell him? Tell him that. Do you want a heart like that?
Yeah.
Do you? I don't see you up here, so I don't believe it. Do you really want a heart like that? Do you? Okay. Go. Hey, Justin, that's not the point of you getting a heart. The point of you getting a heart is so that you can come and you and I can be friends. I can't talk to any of these other dirty people out here, all right? I can talk to you, though. You know, I can talk to you, and I can talk to Josh. Like, we're buddies. Like, now me and you, because you're not showing me that little raggedy heart you had before, right? Okay, now you got this one. Can you tear that one?
No.
Okay, man. Go. You're good. Now, what are you going to do, Justin? What are you going to do? Is that what you're going to do? You all can get high. Is that what you're going to do? What are you going to do, man? Who do you want to tell? Who do you want to tell? No, I would love, really, who would you want to tell, like, about this? Like, everyone in the room, right? Why?
It's good news.
How many people here have good hearts? Raise your heart up. How many people here, how many people here have good hearts? Raise your heart up. How many people here do not have torn hearts? Raise your heart up. How many people, do you see where you are in the room? Okay, put your hands down. Is anybody else in here? I want you to be honest. Anybody else here jealous that they have hearts and you don't? Anyone? Anybody in here want a heart like that? Anybody else? Is there anybody else in here that wants a heart like that? Anyone? Anyone? I don't think so. Because if you did, you'd already be over there, Joyce. No, sit down, sit down. It's too late. Sit down, it's too late. It's too late. Erica, you want to go? You want to go to Joyce? Go, go. Go to Joyce. Go to Joyce. I said Erica. Okay, I just illustrated the point of the gospel here, right? This is it. You're sitting around and you have this huge blessing. You have this huge thing. First of all, none of us can come to God. Each one of us deserves hell. I don't care how good a person you are. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care what it is. You are an enemy of God. And we don't realize the depravity of our own nature. We are enemies of God. That doesn't mean that, hey, if I'm just a good person, I can come to him. No, I am an enemy of God. He can't even look at us because of what we've done. Because of how we've gone away, our nature, in order for us to get into the presence of God, and we'll talk about this later, it takes blood. Something has to die. But exactly. It would have been you, if not for what? It's not for God, for Jesus. Who is God? But if not for Jesus, it would have been you. And immediately they come back and they start sharing. Immediately. That's good. It's a good lesson. But here's a point, guys. God has given us clean hearts through Jesus Christ. There was no other way to get that heart. He didn't present another way for us to get that heart. He didn't give us any other option of how to get that heart. He said, you must go through him. Just like there's no other way to get a heart except to go through Joyce. There was no other way. There was no other way except to go through her. Right? Are you understanding what a gift this is, salvation? And yet so many of us do exactly what Josh did. As soon as we know that we're Christians, and as we've been living Christians our whole lives, we just come and we sit down. I'm not trying to shame you, Josh, but we sit down and we just hold it to ourselves and keep it like this. While everybody else is turning around looking at us like, wow, what does that guy have? And we don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. We just keep it to ourselves. Let me ask you the question I asked it last week. I'm going to ask it again. If you found the cure to cancer, everybody here knows someone who has had cancer. Mostly everyone here knows someone who has had cancer or passed away from cancer or hurt someone. You know how debilitating, how evil, how dark a disease it is. If you found the cure to cancer, would you keep it to yourself? What if people didn't believe that you found the cure? What if people didn't believe that you actually found the cure? Would you still keep it to yourself? What would you do? You would try your best to keep it to them. Even if they didn't believe you. Even if they said, dude, there's no cure to cancer. I don't believe you. Like, dude, I know you don't believe me, but just trust me. Just try it. I am telling you, this is the cure. With everything within you, you would say you're dying. You don't even realize it, but you're dying. But I know the cure. That is what the gospel is all about. That is what us sharing the gospel is all about. We have the cure. But some of us, all we can do is just sit here. Go through church. Go through the motions. Play act like a Christian. All that good stuff. And, you know, just go. What does John 3:16 say? Everyone heard that, Isabel. What does John 3:16 say? We have gotten the gospel wrong because we think it's all about me. You thought the candy was all about you, Josh. But actually, I gave you that big thing of candy so you can start sharing it with everybody else and start telling them how they can get a heart. But immediately, no, don't get focused on the candy. Focus on here. Aiden, I'm not playing around right now. If there's any lesson I want you guys to get, it's this one. It's this one. What does that say? For God, we get it focused on me. Oh, God loves me so much. It's all about me. That's not what the gospel is all about. Read those first words. For God so loved what? Does it say for God so loved Aiden? What does it say? For God so loved the world. And you are part of the world. But God loves the world. God loves the world. And because he loves the world so much, he was willing to give his son for it. Not just for God so loved Joe. God loved the world. Could it be? Could it be that God had ulterior motives in bringing you to himself? Absolutely. Because he wanted to display his glory to the entire earth through you. So it's not just about you. It's not just about me and, oh, yes. No. Once he comes into me, then it's all about me sharing with others. As it says, and I don't even know if I have the scripture up here, but I want you to turn in your Bibles. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Share this with somebody if you don't have it. 2 Corinthians 5. Starting with verse 14. If you don't, if you're not by, get by somebody with a Bible, I want you to read this. If you, I want everybody to be reading this with me. It says this. Starting with verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. In another version, it says Christ's love compels us. Christ's love is the energy behind this. His love drives us. For Christ's love compels us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, not just for Joe, not just for Aiden, not just for Lars, Christ died for all. We also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for who? Everyone. That's what it says there. He died for everyone. So that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for who? For Christ, who died and was raised for them. And if we skip down, go to verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. Just like Joyce gave that gift. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. There's no other way to get there. Brought us back to himself through Christ. And look, pay attention to this next part. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. You may not be able to read it, but it says it. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Not that it's a suggestion, not about, hey, you might think about this. No, but then he keeps on going. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. No longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. What is an ambassador? What is an ambassador? Someone who represents like a country, something like that's what an ambassador is, right? Right? Here's a question. The ambassador of the U.S., like the ambassador of the U.S. to China, right? I'm just using the U.S. because I'm U.S. I'm not showing favoritism. Well, I guess a little bit. Anyway, that's not the point. All right. Ambassador of the U.S. comes to China. Is there at any moment in his entire life when he is the ambassador that he stops representing the U.S. of A.? If he's driving on the road and he pulls over and swerves in front of somebody, what do they say immediately? What do people think? What do they think? Those are Americans, stupid Americans. Yes or no? Am I making this up? What do you think, really? Yeah. You're stupid Americans. If he goes, he's walking down, he's like, spits on the sidewalk. Something as small as that. What do people think? Stupid Americans. Is there any point, is there anything that he can do anytime while he's an ambassador that will not represent the people of America? Is it? Every single thing he does, every single thing he does will represent, people will automatically think, this is an American. This is a person who is representing the U.S. of A. So it is with Christ. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are, man, I don't even know how, this shows the depth of God's love right here, that he would even trust humans with this task. We are Christ's ambassadors as if God was making his plea through us. He is making his plea. He's using us to minister to the rest of the world. And we are crying out, come back to God. We're pleading with people, come back to God. Sorry, my nose is running. But we get the point. Yes, no. So the simple fact of the matter, sorry, I saw people going like, it's embarrassing. The simple fact of the matter is this, hey, if God is coming to our life, he's given us a reason. He's given us a task. And so many of us, we don't recognize the gift that he's given us. Because if we did, we'd run out and tell every single person we know about it. We're going to do an experiment. I talked about this last week. How many people believe God is real? Put your hands down. Let me ask you. How many people really believe that God is real? Raise your hands. Like you believe it. Good. Thank you others for being honest. How many of you believe that he answers prayer? Raise your hands. Put your hands down. How many of you believe, even after what I've said today, that he wants the entire world to come to know him? Raise your hands. We're going to do an experiment. I have a little sheet up here. And what I want to do is for the next 3 weeks, we're going to put God, we're going to try God. We're going to see if he is who he says he is, all right? Let's try him out. See if he does. Let's see if he really wants to minister to the world, okay? So what we're going to do is I got a sheet up here. I'm going to pass out these sheets. It has 3 lines on it. What we want to do, we got a youth service coming up in about 3 weeks. That means all the youth are going to be doing stuff during that service. And I need to make that announcement too later. But it's going to be run by youth. MCs, the whole works, it's going to be run by youth. What we're going to do, you see here I got this sheet. It's got three little lines on here. What I want to do is for those of us who are Christians, I want us to write down the name of 3 of our friends. I want us to pray about it. Like today, we're going to take some time. I want us to pray about it and write down the names of 3 of our friends who do not know Christ. And I want us to pray for those individuals for the next 3 weeks. That's what this sheet is. And it has a place for you to sign that I will commit to pray for these 3 people daily for the next 3 weeks. At the end of that 3rd week, we're going to invite them to the youth service. And there's going to be a gospel message. There's going to be a gospel message. Let's just see. We got a skit that's going to happen. We want to just see how many of those people will come to know God or be drawn closer to God. Let's see if he actually does want people to come to know him. If he is as big and as powerful as we say he is, then he should be able to do this, right? I'm not saying that every single one of them is going to become a Christian, but I guarantee you that if we start to pray for these individuals, first of all, it's going to give us a heart that is in line with God's heart. Second thing is, I believe he actually is going to do some things in some people's lives. But some of you won't even fill out the sheet because you don't have enough faith. And I want to encourage you to have the faith to believe that God can do what he wants to do. And that he wants to use you to minister to your friends. Let me pass out these sheets right now. I want you to get a pen. I want you to start writing. If you have names already that's come to your mind, I want you to start writing those names out. Go ahead. As I'm talking, I want you to go ahead, grab your sheets. I want you to write it down. Write down three names. Write down three names. I want you to pray for these people. I want you to pray for these individuals every day for the next 3 weeks. If God gives you an opportunity during those, see if God would not give you an opportunity to speak into their life. Pray for God to like turn their faces toward him. Pray for them to start asking questions and then look for the opportunity. Look and see if God does not start doing things in some of these individuals' lives. And then some of you who are involved with the youth service, that's a great way to invite your friends and say, hey, I'm involved in this service. Come check it out. I'm doing this skit. Or, hey, I'm on the worship team. Come check this out. I'm doing so and so and so and so. It's a great way for you to invite your friends. Write down three names. Begin to pray for these individuals. And I want you guys to come back and tell me what God is doing. If they come and start asking you questions, you know that's God trying to draw them to himself. If they come in and they just start talking to you one day, conversation about God, when you don't ever talk about God, you know that's God trying to draw them to himself. For some reason, you've not talked to this individual, but all of a sudden they just come out of the blue and they just want to talk to you and see how you're doing. Once again, I am telling you, God is trying to draw them unto himself. Every day, for the next 3 weeks, pray for these three individuals. I don't care what, put this on your fridge, put it in your wallet, put it on your book that you use every day. But every day when you see that, pray for these individuals. Pray that they will come to know Christ. Pray that God would minister to their hearts. Pray that they would be, that they would come through the knowledge of truth. Write those names down. And before we get out, we want to pray for them today. Hopefully you got your names written down. Bow your heads. If you haven't, you can look up at any time and write them down. And if you don't have enough, if you're not a Christian, you don't have enough faith to believe, I understand. But for those of us who do, write it down. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. We're going to pray. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Everyone, bow your heads. Close your eyes. I don't care who you are. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you a couple questions first. First, how many of you actually believe that God can minister to these friends that you wrote down? Raise your hands. Keep your eyes closed. Go ahead. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Keep them. Bow your heads. Lower your hands. How many of you are going, you commit today to praying for these individuals and to inviting them on Sunday, that Sunday? Raise your hands. And I would be remiss if I didn't give opportunity today. If there's someone here does not know Christ, you have that torn heart. You are an enemy of God. If that is you, raise your hands. If there's any of those who rose their hands or those who didn't, but you feel, you know what I'm saying is true because you felt it as I was talking about it. And you want that new heart. You want that new heart. You want that new life. You want to really experience God. You want to welcome into your heart. If you want that, if that's really you, raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray for each and every single one of you guys, and especially for all those that raised their hands, and there was a lot of them. Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that while we were yet enemies of yours, There was no way for us to put our hearts back together. There was no way for us to make a way to you. You sent your son to die for us. That is the simple reality. He gave us a new heart when we didn't deserve it. Even before we even asked for it, he had already presented it to us. And all you said we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is believe. Believe that Jesus came for this. Father God, I pray for every single person that raised their hand. I ask, oh God, that you would come into their heart right now. I ask, oh Lord, that their lives would be changed, that their hearts would be renewed. Father, if they raise their hand, and I saw so many, I ask that they would come up and pray with one of the leaders. There's so many leaders here. Get with one of us, Lord, so we can pray with them. Father God, I ask that you would touch their hearts and their lives. For every single one, Lord, who has names written on that sheet, I ask God right now that you would send out your angels, send out your ministering spirits to minister to every single name that is written down. Lord, I ask that you would turn their faces and turn their eyes toward truth. God, I ask that you would minister to them. I ask that you would start to stir something up within their hearts, Lord, that they start to want and desire something new and something more. Father God, bring your people unto you. No matter what kind of passion we have, for you love the world. And you saved us for more than just for us, but you saved us to extend your glory throughout this planet. Father God, give us your perception of the world. Give us your perception of people. May you give us your perception of the gospel and what it means. And just how if you would not even hold your own son back, but give him, you would give us everything, Lord. You would use us in the same way to minister to other people. Father God, touch our lives, touch our hearts. Give us passion for your name. Give us passion to know you. And give us passion to see your name extended throughout the earth. Lord, may you be exalted. Once again, I pray for these individuals whose names are written down. Bring them unto yourself. Give every single person here boldness to be able to pray for them. Give them the strength and the faith to be able to believe. And Lord, give them, Lord, the boldness also to be able to speak to them when you open the door. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, God, for your desire. May your name be extended through us. May your name and your kingdom come. And may you be glorified in everything that we say and do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're one of those individuals that raise your hand, before you leave here today, you need to come and talk to one of us. And I'm actually surprised at how many hands were raised. But if you're one of those individuals, don't leave it. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Don't worry about that. It is more important that you know the Savior than anything else. That is the most important decision you will ever make in your entire life. And it's not based on what you can do. It's not based on how many good things you can do or how good a person is. It's based on when you have a new heart and you've accepted Christ. That's all it's based on. And without that, I guarantee you, without that, you are going to hell. And even more importantly, you will have no relationship with the Savior. There's no way to have a relationship with God unless you go through Christ. It's not about how good you are. It doesn't matter. If you've done any one of those things that we listed today, your heart is ripped up. And there's no way to Him unless you go through Christ. Pray for these individuals that we wrote down. We're going to keep coming. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it more next week and how we can effectively minister to people like that and what God is asking us to do. All right? I pray that God would just be with you guys as y'all go and that you'd be able to share, that you'd even be able to get together and pray with one another over these three, over these names. Pray together. Be creative. But don't forget, pray for these individuals every day. For the next 3 weeks, that's not a long time. Pray for them every day. All right, man. Geckos, if you're one of those people, come talk to us. Ready? One, two, three.